good to be with you this morning. You know, this coming Thursday is Thanksgiving. Just in case you haven't been following your calendar, can you believe that it's already here? I mean, it's like this year has just gone by like that. But here's the great thing about Thanksgiving, okay? The whole message this morning will be on Thanksgiving, but it's going to be about Thanksgiving through prayer. And, you know, every time we pray, not just on the last Thursday or however the formula is for Thanksgiving, okay, we can, every time we go to our Lord, we can bring thanksgiving to Him. Amen. Because He is worthy. And as we sing that song, "Today is the Day," that is a heart of thanksgiving. To say, I don't need to worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting in what the Lord says. What does He say? In Matthew chapter 6, He says that whatever we have need of, He will provide. He clothes the grass. He takes care of the flowers. He takes care of the sparrows. And won't He take care of you? And we can believe that and not worry about things. All right, it's announcement time, not preaching time. Let's open our bulletins. We have a few things to go through here. First of all, on December 3rd, it is our Home for the Holidays church potluck. And the way we're doing it this year is just bring a dish to share. Okay, bring your favorite holiday dish to share. And hopefully enough people bring dessert, enough people bring sides. If everybody brings a main dish, that's great because that's my favorite anyway. So we're just bringing, bring your favorite holiday dish to share. And so we'll have our potluck, and then along with that, we're going to take time after that to decorate the church for Christmas. And you say, why do we decorate for Christmas? I don't know. December 3rd's sermon, that same day, is why do we celebrate Christmas, all right? So it'll be a great day. The stage will already be decorated, hopefully, before December 3rd. And then December 3rd, we're going to decorate the rest of the church. And so it won't take real long. If everybody stays, it'll take minutes. If it's just me, it will take hours, because I'm not going to do it. No. If you could plan on staying, that would be a great help. And it's a lot of fun to spend time with your church family and setting things up. Also, with the Christmas series that's coming up, I'm excited about it. December 3rd, I'm preaching about why do we celebrate Christmas. December 10th, we're doing Awkward Family Photo Sunday, okay? And it's going to be fun, and it will be even better if you turn in an old family photo, okay? Especially, if Bert and Rachel Smith could turn one in from 50 years ago when they were in their 30s. That would be, or 40s, that would be wonderful because it'll really help fit the theme. So if you've got an old family photo, if you could give that to the church office, we'd love to use that. And then on the 17th, that's our children's Christmas play will be that Sunday. And following that, the message is on the white elephant Christmas. All right? And I guarantee you, you will laugh and have fun during that service, okay? It will be a fun time. And one person will really have a wonderful time. Everybody else, a good time. One person will have a wonderful time. And so you want to come and see what that's all about. And then on the 24th, Christmas Eve, it's a glow-in-the-dark Christmas. We're not doing a candlelight service on Christmas Eve night, but in the morning, it will be a glow-in-the-dark Christmas. So you're like, well, what is that? You'll have to come and find out, okay? No better way to begin the Christmas season than to be part of that. Today is the last day to have the Christmas shoeboxes in. They will be shipped out tomorrow. So if you forgot, get them in tonight or get them in early tomorrow because the Christmas shoeboxes are being sent out tomorrow. Operation Good Cheer with Bethany Christian Services. We've had a lot of people sign up. If you would like to help deliver gifts to a child who has been on some hard times, not able to live with their family for one reason or another, it's an opportunity for you to really be a blessing. And so if you would like to do that, sign up at the Welcome Center. Much more information will be here next week as we're getting really close to the time that we will be delivering those gifts. Big thank you to everybody. If you went and helped with the Rickman House serving dinner on Friday, if you could just stand up so we could just say a big thank you. If you helped with that, just stand up. So, all right, thank you. It's a great testimony for our church. And it's a great way for you to serve, but also for to be a blessing to others. So thank you to those who did that. The ladies have an ornament exchange dinner. It will be at the Olive Garden in Portage on Monday, December 4th at 6 p.m. There's a welcome seat at the sign up sheet at the Welcome Center. Okay, that's how it goes. So you can sign up there. And also on Tuesdays from 11 to 1, we're doing a Bible study on the book of Revelation. And we're just studying what does the Bible say. And I'm having fun with it. So I think those who are coming, the numbers dwindled last week, so I'm not sure. But if you have the time and you'd like to go, and then if you can't, I tried to live stream it on Facebook, and then it will stay up on Facebook after that. So if you know how to use Facebook, I learned how to do it last week. You push a button and it records it. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. So if you'd like to be part of that Bible study, that would be great. There's a lot more announcements in there. I'd like to encourage you, find out what's going on. Tonight from 4 to 7 p.m., there will be a movie showing, The Case for Christ. And it's more geared for adults, okay? So if you're an adult and you'd like to come and see that, it will be showing from 4 to 7 p.m. right here in the auditorium, and that'll be a really good, it's a good movie. It's got a lot of great message to it, so I know that you'll be encouraged. Okay, Nate and Kyla Penning would like to meet with the youth group families right after church, so youth group families come right up here after the service ends for a quick meeting. If you'll notice in the gym, we have some bleachers for Upward that have been built. And I want to say a big thank you to Ed Campbell for putting those together. Thank you, Ed. Appreciate that. And Upward is getting really close, and we have 108 kids signed up right now. We're expecting about 200. So if you could help with the registration days. The registration days are December 9th and December 16th. If you could help with either one of those or both of those registration days, we're going to have all those kids coming through. We have to evaluate how they dribble, run. You know, some of them can't dribble and run. That's okay. We'll teach them. But we need to know. And so it's just a really good time for you to invest into some kids and to help us out. So if you could do that, we would appreciate your help on those two dates. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, I thank you for this morning. You are an awesome God. And there is nothing that we could say with our mouths that could ever fully demonstrate your greatness, that could ever fully express the appreciation that we have for who you are in our lives. Because without you, we have nothing. But with you, Lord, we don't just have everything. We have everything that you have for us. And Lord, it's so much better that way. I pray that that thought would permeate our minds, would affect our thinking and influence our living. And Lord, today as we have so much to be thankful for, we also know that there are those who are struggling, and we do pray for those who are going on hard times right now. And Lord, as we sang this morning, this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We also, Lord, humbly and gratefully submit ourselves to you through all of our singing, through our giving, through the way that we interact with each other today, Lord. I just pray that you would be exalted to the highest place in our hearts and in our minds. And I pray, Lord, that you would visit us in the way that you speak to us. I pray that your spirit would move and work, that today would not be a passive day of us just doing another day at church, that today we would really and fully experience the greatness of God speaking to us and working in us. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Please come and take charge of all that we say and do. So to you be praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us. Thank you.
make our way back to our seats as we sing This Is Amazing Grace.
Fear of the unknown, I can hear all God's as children singing out, we will not be overtaken, we will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, lives in us, lives in us, he lives in us.
Thank you. This we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Ushers.
Let's go ahead and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all the opportunities that you give to us. We pray, Father, that you would watch over and guide and direct in our lives. We pray that this portion of money that we give back to you, Father, that you would greatly endow into the areas of need. And we pray, Father, that you would get all the honor and glory throughout this. In your name we pray. Amen.
See my Jesus on the cross, the people crying. Looking on, a man would think it tragedy. But what this world could not see was when they nailed him to that tree. It would break the chains of sin's captivity. One holy Lamb, wash my sin away. One sacrifice paid the price I could not pay. One holy Lamb, one great I am, one seed of Abraham. One holy my sin away.
Behold the Lamb.
Thank you, choir. At this time, we'll dismiss our children to Children's Church. And, you know, if you're here this morning and you don't know personally the Lamb, who Jesus Christ, the one who gave his life for your sins, then I want to encourage you right now to think about the fact that he gave his life for you so that you could spend an eternity with him. And if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to beg of you, there's nothing else to do with your life that will make a greater impact, because it will carve your destiny for your eternal life. And so, if you've never trusted Christ, trust him. The Lamb gave everything for you. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4 in our Bibles. Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 6. And while you're turning there, I don't really have a prepared joke for this morning, so why do pilgrims have a hard time keeping their pants up? Because they wear their belt buckles on their hats. Yeah, sorry. I'll do better next week. Matthew 21:22, as you're turning to Philippians 4, Matthew 21:22 says this. Jesus said, "In all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." This morning we're going to talk about thanksgiving in prayer. And we're going to look at an improper way to view thanksgiving in prayer. And we're going to look at a proper way. And after we're done looking at the proper way, we will see the benefits of praying with thanksgiving. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, "Be careful for nothing," or that word careful, it's also anxious. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Let's pray here. Lord, I just pray that you would bless your word. And as it's explained now, I pray that your spirit would take over the explanation. Stop my words where they go beyond yours. And Lord, insert yours where they need to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Faith in prayer has been described as asking God for something and making it come true by your conviction that it will happen. Your faith somehow creates the results that you desire. Some see it as God using your internal fortitude and wanting to make your desires happen. So the natural response to this teaching is that praying to God and asking for things to happen, knowing that God is bound by my faith to make it happen, is thanksgiving. Basically, we're thankful that God will do what we want him to do. Okay? That's an improper view of thanksgiving. I want to illustrate it a little bit further. Leah, can you come here and help me out, babe? Now, I'm going to play God. I know, really poor representation. Okay? And this $20 bill represents faith. Okay? Forget the fact that it's 20. Just remember it is 20. Okay? This represents faith. God gives us faith. Okay? Faith is the gift of God. Now, some people view that when we come to God and we ask for things, that we can be thankful because we have enough faith to give it to God and say, "God, do this." And God will look and say, "Okay, that's enough faith. I'll do it." And then we can be thankful because we know he'll do what we want him to do. So if Leah were to come to me and say, "I didn't study for my test, but God, I really need an A on this test. I have faith that you will help me get an A." All right? And then she does. She gives all of her faith. Is God bound to say, "Oh, you had faith, you didn't study, I'm going to give you an A"? But what if she did this? What if she only gave $10 of faith? Well, then, no, God is not bound because he gave her $20 worth of faith. And if she's only going to give 10, then if she doesn't get the A, it's her fault for not giving the 20. Okay? Some people view it that way. But let us show you in reality how this works, okay? So Leah comes to me and she says, pretending that I'm God. I know, very poor representation. God, I need an A on my test that I did not study for.
God, I need an A on my test that I did not study for. $20.
All right, so she gives me $20 of faith. She believes that God can help her get an A even though she didn't study. And then she not only just gives God the faith and says, God, I totally trust that you're going to give me the A. She also says, thank you.
Thank you.
Now she's confident she will get an A. So she sits down and she takes her test. And because Leah's really smart, even though she didn't study, she got a B+. Should she be disappointed with God? She had full confidence, she had full faith that God would give her an A. Should she be disappointed with God that he didn't help her?
No.
No. Because us praying in faith doesn't bind God to a contract to do what we want him to do. Okay? Thank you, Leah. Great job. Too bad I have the 20 in my hand still. See, the view of prayer and faith with thanksgiving is not us dictating to God the terms of what needs to be done. And then saying, God, I told you to do it. I mean, didn't Jesus say, in all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive it? So why is it improper to think that whatever I tell God to do, as long as I have faith that he'll do it, he should do it? Well, here's why. Because God is a holy, righteous, and just God. God will do what he knows is best, not what we tell him to do. And when we pray with thanksgiving, it's not us saying, thank you for doing it my way. When we pray with thanksgiving, we have the attitude that we know God will give us what we need. We pray, let's look at Philippians 4, 6 again. It says, be careful for nothing, be anxious about nothing. Don't worry about things. When you pray, don't worry about them. So there's some confidence here, right? We have some faith here. We don't worry about things when we pray. If I pray and I still have the attitude of worry, then I'm not praying correctly. If I pray and I'm like, oh, God, you know, I need you to help me with this. And I get done praying and I'm like, oh, he's not going to help me. Okay, that's the wrong attitude in prayer. Be anxious for nothing. Be careful for nothing. We shouldn't worry about things as we pray. But here's how we pray. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Let's examine what praying with thanksgiving really entails. And then we're going to see the benefits, because there are some great benefits to praying correctly with thanksgiving. Number one, let's just talk about prayer. This is the first blank in, or this is a blank in your bulletin here, prayer. Prayer is simply talking to God. Okay? That's pretty simple, right? Prayer is talking to God. This is communication. God wants us to be in communication with him. Everything that goes on in your life, he cares about. When my kids come home from school and I get home from work, I'll say to them, how did your day go? And I expect them to give me more than, fine. I expect for them to start to share with me some things that happened during the day. And they do. And then as they talk to me about what happened, I talk to them about, you know, oh, well, and I'll ask them questions, I'll interject some thoughts, and we have a conversation. God wants to have conversations with you. He wants you to talk to him. And so if we never go to prayer, then we're going to miss the whole rest of this. And you can't go to God in prayer where you can have an honest-to-goodness communication with him if you are not his child. If you are here this morning and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can go to God and you can talk to him, but there's no connection point in your life that you should expect anything to happen. My neighbor kids can come over and say, hey, we're collecting money for this. Can you give us money? And you know what I can say? No. Right? They're not my kids. My kids come to me, Dad, we have a sport fee, and the coach said I can't play unless the sports fee is paid at school. Guess what I will do? I will pay the play or pay for them to be able to play because they're my child. That's how life works. That's how it works with God. If you're not his child. But you know what? He made it so simple. Jesus Christ did all the work so that you could be a joint heir with Jesus Christ in the riches and grace that God has stored up for you. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He was buried and he rose again. If you put your faith and trust in what Jesus did, not in what you do, and you say, I believe, Jesus, that you took care of the death for me, that you paid for my sin, and you trust what he did to save you. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so you believe that Jesus did that for you. You believe it in your heart. You confess it with your mouth, and you're willing that he could be Lord of your life. He will save you. So prayer is talking to God. Prayer is also praising God. There's something that should take place in our prayer that's called exaltation. All right, now here's a wonderful example of it. When Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, he said, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, right? He prayed in exaltation to God. We, when we pray, should have exaltation to him as well. We should lift him up in our prayer. Because before I thank him, I need to acknowledge who he is. And so prayer is talking to God, but how do I talk to God that is different from talking to anybody else? When I talk to Nate Penning, I don't go, Nate, you are awesome. Now, every once in a while, he might do something cool. But I don't sit there and you know, Nate, that bald head is so shiny. And you know, you're so good at just the way that you work with the teens. And all that stuff may be true, but I don't sit there and exalt Nate when I have a conversation with him. But when I talk to God, I should exalt him. Praise is a natural part of our communication with him. Then the next thing is believing God. Why talk to God if you don't believe him? Why even bring a request to him? Here's what Jesus said. He said, when you pray, say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's some faith there. There's believing what God will do. So when we pray, we should believe that he can accomplish whatever it is that I talk to him about. Then there's asking God. All right, there's a good order here. You believe before you ask. If you ask but you don't believe, why are you even asking? It's not like the bank where you show up and you say, hey, you know, I'd like a $300,000 loan to start a business. And they look at you and they want all of the details, and they may or may not want to give you the loan, and they may or may not have the ability to give you the loan because maybe they've got parameters that don't allow you. You know what? Talking to God is so much different than asking the bank for something, because when you talk to God, you believe and then you ask. And this is the prayer of supplication. And go back to Philippians 4 and verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Supplication is this earnest, intense asking. It's more than just, give us this day our daily bread. Supplication is where we have something specific, and we know that there has to be something done, and we ask God to do it. One of the greatest prayers of supplication is probably when a person first hears word of a diagnosis of cancer. And immediately it's, oh God, I need your help. And there's a time of supplication where you are completely, and now you have doctors you work with, and there's a lot of other things that are involved there. But you know what? Ultimately, when you pray about it, it is in God's hands, and you fully acknowledge that, and you have supplication because you don't just pray it, leave it, and walk away. No, you go back to it over and over and over, and we should. Not that we don't believe God will do it, but we go back again and again because we want to be in touch with Him as we walk the road that is before us. And so supplication, asking God, and then there's thanking God. It's the prayer of thanksgiving. Because I believe Him, I've asked Him. Now that I've asked Him, I thank Him. Has God done anything yet? Probably not in the course of my single prayer. Why pray with thanksgiving? Go back to Philippians 4, 6 again. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. How do I make my requests known unto God? With thanksgiving. I know He can do it. I know that He can answer my prayer. And because of that, I have full confidence that He will do not just what I ask. He will do what is best. Because I don't know what is best. He does. When I pray with thanksgiving, it doesn't in any way diminish what I am asking or how I am asking. Other than when I come to a conclusion in my mind with the asking, I'm saying, God, I know that You're going to work this out. I have no doubts that this will be exactly how You want it to be, and I trust You in that. That's what thanksgiving and prayer is all about. When we pray with thanksgiving, we're expressing your gratitude to the benefactor of the good in your life. That's what praying with thanksgiving is. It's expressing your gratitude to the benefactor of the good in your life. In James chapter 1 and verse 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Listen, God gives you every good thing that comes into your life. And when you have a bad thing come into your life and it's followed by a lesser thing, the lesser thing may not be as good as the bad thing was bad, but you know why that good thing came into your life? Because God did that. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from God. When we pray with thanksgiving, we are acknowledging that source of our gratitude. We're praying with thanksgiving because we are trusting God to do what is best with the issues that we are asking. When we pray, there's no telling God what to do when we pray with thanksgiving. Because the attitude of thanksgiving, while simultaneously asking, is submissive. The attitude of thanksgiving is an attitude of submissiveness, not of directiveness. God is never bound to do what we say, no matter how much faith we have. When we pray with thanksgiving, we're saying, God, I'm trusting You. And it takes great faith to pray with thanksgiving because you are trusting God to determine the outcome of your request and you are accepting the outcome before it is even revealed. So we pray and we say, God, thank You for answering exactly how I need this answered. And you don't even know how He's going to answer. You don't even know what He's going to do. But when we are letting our request be made known unto Him with thanksgiving, that's how we do it. When God answers the way that we desire, it is so much sweeter because we are brought into the knowledge that our desires align with God's desires for us. Those are some awesome moments in life. When you're walking through life and you're saying, boy, I really hope that what I want is what God wants. I really hope that I'm living according to God's will. And then you ask him for something and you're thankful. God, I thank you that you're going to do what is right, what you're going to do what is best. And then exactly what you prayed for happens. Those are some incredible moments because you're like, oh my goodness. My desires are lined up with God's desires for me because he made it happen. Let's talk about the benefits of praying with thanksgiving. Number one, stress relief. Stress relief. How many of you could use a little less stress in your life? Anybody? Okay, like six of you. Oh, okay, a little bit more than that. All right, everybody else, man, I'm glad you got it good. When we pray with thanksgiving, there is stress relief that happens. How does Philippians 4:6 start? Be anxious for nothing. Peter tells us, casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. We don't carry the hardships and burdens in life. We ask God to carry them for us. And when we pray with thanksgiving, we are honestly and truly giving them over to God. You don't have to decide the outcomes of your requests. You just thank God for what he decides to do. And that takes a great load off. You know, the other way we looked at praying with thanksgiving, praying with faith, where, you know, I've heard people say, well, the reason you're still sick is because you didn't have enough faith to be healed. That's a bunch of baloney. That's a message straight from the pit of hell. Because you know what? You're saying now that you are the healer. You're saying that you are the giver of health. You know who is? God. And yes, there are times that our faith will come up short. But that doesn't affect whether or not God loves us or will do what is best. In fact, when our prayers come up short, that's sometimes the exact position that we need to be in. Because then we trust God for the outcome rather than determining the outcome ourselves. Number two, the second benefit. Everything in your life is in good hands. As long as you keep it in your hands, it's in the wrong hands. Put it in your spouse's hands and see how that turns out. Maybe better than your hands, but still not the right hands. Come and put it in my hands and it'll be a disaster. You know whose hands it belongs in? God's. And then you know that everything you deal with in life, it's in God's hands. It's in the best hands. Philippians 4:6 says, in everything by prayer and supplication, in everything with intense and diligent asking, with thanksgiving, with trusting and thanking God in advance for accomplishing his will, praying with thanksgiving does not mean that we pray with less urgency. We ask with more urgency, but we rest in grateful knowledge that it is in God's hands. So then the third benefit. Where your ability and knowledge to pray stops, the Holy Spirit's ability and knowledge takes over. That's why it tells us in everything, let your requests be made known unto God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 28. We're going to read these. In Romans 8, 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. See, here's the thing. God knows what to pray for you. The Holy Spirit, when you don't know what to pray, you don't know how to pray, you don't know how to finish your prayer, you don't know where the prayer should end up, that's okay. That is good because the prayer ends up in the hands of the Holy Spirit. Here's what the Holy Spirit does. Verse 27, he that searches the hearts knows What is the mind of the Spirit? Because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So when you're praying and you don't know where to pray anymore, you're like, okay, I've come to what I know how to pray. Here's what happens. The Holy Spirit steps in and he begins to pray for you. Now, these groanings are not uttered. This isn't you making a bunch of noise. No, right now, you're done. You're like, I don't know what to pray. And here's what the Holy Spirit does. He personally speaks with the Father. He knows the mind of the Father. He knows the will of God. And where you stop praying because your knowledge is done, you don't know what else needs to be accomplished, you're done praying. The Holy Spirit picks up and says, okay, you had faith that I can take care of this. You're praying with thanksgiving, trusting me that I will accomplish this. And then here's what the Spirit does. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. This is why I pray in thanksgiving. This right here. I know that the Spirit is praying beyond my prayers. I know that he is asking God, and he knows my heart, he knows my mind, he knows what I would like. He knows God's heart, he knows God's will. And what the Spirit does is he intercedes. He stands as the one who takes my prayer where it ended, and he carries it to completion. And what happens when he does that? All things work together for good. Not the good that I asked for, but the good that the Holy Spirit knew needed to be accomplished. All things work together for good. Thank God. This is an exercise for each one of us. Thank God, his Spirit knows us enough to pick up our prayers and carry them to completion. Thank God, the Spirit knows the will of God and intercedes for us. Thank God, he is able to make all things work together for your good. And thank him before it all works out. Faith and prayer. Trust God to work everything out. We have a drama here that's going to illustrate what we've just talked about. So pay good attention to what's being said right now in this drama.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, early. I'm so glad you could come.
Sure.
Sheila, how are you? I haven't seen you in forever. Did you cut your hair?
Like a month ago, Mom.
Oh, well, like I said, I never see you.
Hi, Grandma.
Hi, Peyton.
Were we supposed to bring something?
No, Lisa. I wanted to prepare everything myself today, so we're fine.
Well, here, let me give you some money to help out.
Not a chance. I've been saving for this special occasion.
Well, this is really nice of you.
Thank you.
Yeah, a highlight.
Well, what can I do to help?
Nothing. Just sit down, relax. Dinner's almost ready. We're just going to have a lot of fun tonight. We're going to have a great Thanksgiving meal.
This is not Thanksgiving, Grandma.
Oh, I know, but everybody had plans for Thanksgiving, so I thought we'd just do it a little early.
I think you forgot. We don't celebrate Thanksgiving.
Oh, don't be silly. You say that every year.
Mom, Grant's right. We couldn't care less about Thanksgiving.
Let's have something to drink. I made some cranberry punch. I hope you like it. Drink up.
Thanks. It tastes great, Grandma.
Oh, thanks. I was so afraid it wouldn't turn out and it'd ruin our Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, this is not Thanksgiving, and we are not celebrating Thanksgiving tonight.
Dad.
Mom, look, you invited us over for dinner, okay? But why force us to take part in something that we don't believe in?
Aunt Sheila.
As far as we are concerned, we have nothing to be thankful for. And out of all of us, you should be the least one giving thanks.
Why do you say that?
Because look at you, alone, deserted by Dad. You have nothing. You raise us kids on nothing. You have no savings, and you live in this place called a house.
Dad.
That's the truth.
Mom, look around you. What do you have to be thankful for?
My kids, that's what. I'm so proud of you. You both have college educations. You have good jobs. You are healthy.
Oh, by chance, by luck.
You think it's by chance or by luck?
Yes, we do.
Life is hard, Grandma.
Why should we thank God for something that we have had to do ourselves?
You didn't do it by yourself.
What's this?
Next to you three, it's my most precious treasure.
Notes.
Prayer request answers.
Okay, prayer request. Money for Grant's asthma medication. Prayer answered September 12th, 1977.
We had no money. You were just a baby.
Well, where did you get the money?
I don't know.
Prayer request. A pair of skates for Sheila's Christmas present. Answered December 24th, 1987. Hey, I remember those skates.
A neighbor brought those to me on Christmas Eve. That was your only gift that year.
You prayed that I would get a scholarship for summer camp?
Yes.
We didn't have a dime for summer camp, and I had an anonymous sponsor pay for the entire week.
I know.
So, Mom, you're telling us that God answered your prayers, and that's why we have what we do today?
I prayed for food, for clothes, for a Disney vacation, for braces for Sheila. I prayed for all of those things, good health. You may not see it, but I'm a queen. I've got riches that man just cannot buy. So don't tell me I have nothing to be thankful for.
Well, I guess I always wondered how it worked out.
Mom, you prayed for us.
Grandma, if we had nothing else in the world to be thankful for, we would have to be thankful for you. Thank you for praying.
God does hear our prayers. In fact, I wrote this one this morning. Look here. That this year, my family and I would celebrate Thanksgiving together. Did God answer our prayers?
Oh, happy Thanksgiving, Mom.
Happy Thanksgiving.
So as we close out the service, we have so much to be thankful for. Let's make sure that in our daily life, we pray with thanksgiving. Why pray if you don't believe God will do what is best? Why trust him if you only can trust him for what you want him to do? Then you're trusting him for the wrong things. So I want to encourage you to learn to pray with the heart of thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. We're going to close with this song. I'd invite you to stand and to sing this with the team as they sing. And as we sing this song, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm going to stand at the front. That'd be the first and greatest thing to really find in thanksgiving to God. And then, if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, this song all in of itself is something to be thankful for to God. To just say, God, here's my heart. Now, God, tell me what is true. What do you want from me? And in the song, we reflect on who God is. We reflect on who we are in response to who God is. And as we enter into Thanksgiving this next week, I hope that you're ready not only to pray with thanksgiving, but to live a life that is in thanksgiving. Let's stand together as we sing. Lord, we come to you as grateful people. You are the giver of every good thing that we have. You are the supplier of life, of breath. You also, Lord, are the one who carries us through our difficult times. I pray for those, Lord, right now that say, it's hard for me to be thankful because of what I'm going through. And I pray, Lord, that they would have the ability to pray with thanksgiving and let their requests be made known unto you. And I thank you, Lord, that you are not only able, but you give us this great promise that to those who love you, you make all things to work together for good. So God, you are the hope for all of our life. You do not disappoint. You will bring to each one of us a hope and a future. And so to the one who has made all things, to the giver of life and sustainer of breath, we offer before you grateful hearts, thankful lips, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving.